Hello and welcome back. My name is Jai Bristow and I'm one of your hosts. And today I am very pleased to be welcoming back the wonderful Amber Benziger. Amber is a psychotherapist, anxiety coach, and the creator of the Anxiety Lab. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me back. I'm excited about this one.
Me too. So today we're talking about anxiety in the digital age. So I thought maybe I'd ask you first what that means exactly. Like, what are some ways that anxiety manifests and can show up specifically in relation to this new digital age?
Yes, I mean, everything is online now. I mean, even we're having this conversation online. So there's a lot of pressure to be online. And for someone that struggles with anxiety, that can show up in such a huge way, right? Like just feeling the pressure of being online, not missing something, feeling like you have to constantly post or capture what's going on in your life so that everybody can see it and it looks pretty. And, you know, we say, like, is it Instagram worthy? So there's a lot of that. And then what to say and when there are large world topics coming up, like how involved do I get? How much do I want to say and show up on those type of things? And then the fear of missing out, if I'm not checking online, it's just a lot of constant, am I doing it right? Am I doing it enough? Am I there? Am I seeing it all? Am I showing up in this way that our brains really weren't meant to have that much information. There's a lot of great stuff online, but there's also a lot of pressures that come with that. And if you're already struggling with anxiety, it can be difficult to just consume it all and then figure out what to do and how to consume it and how am I going to show up. So it definitely presents a lot of pressures that I think maybe we didn't realize. And also, that's what it's meant to do. It's meant to keep us there, but is that really good for us, you know, mentally, physically, emotionally, to be so attached to those devices?
100%. I think that's such an interesting question you just like brought up there, right? Like showing that it's designed, a lot of technology is designed to keep us hooked, but is that really good for us, especially for those of us with anxiety? And I'm curious because in some of the examples you gave, you know, it felt like maybe it's aimed at like younger people. So do you think that it's true across generations, or do you think it's slightly different, the impacts of anxiety on different generations?
I think that for young people, a lot of people either like grew up with it or are coming of age with it, like millennials and younger, right? Like we had the internet and then, you know, Gen Z's always had that. So this is what we're used to. So it becomes such a part of their life. So the anxiety might not be as at the forefront of their mind of like, oh, wait, I am anxious about that because it has become such a big part. But when it's taken away or not having access to it and wanting to be on it or wanting to be informed in the anxiety of like how I'm showing up and what I'm looking at and the pressures, I think that it impacts that community differently. But I also feel like with older generations, there's still a lot of knowledge and community on there. So there's still that desire to want to be there. It's just maybe not as ingrained as it's needed because they didn't grow up with it. But definitely once you start, it's hard to stop because again, it's made to have that impact of coming back and having that addictive nature. It's also a place where you can find people and have that sense of community. So there is that desire to be a part of that. And then the generational bridge of like, I'm going to put this on this platform so my grandma in the other side of the world can see it. You know what I mean? So it kind of brings everybody together in a way, but there's still the impact of that generation. Each generation has their own impact of what that anxiety looks like. So I don't think it's, you know, only this generation is impacted by the anxiety of feeling like you have to show up on social media. I think it just shows up differently for everyone.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I really hear in what you're saying as well that you're not like demonizing social media or the progress of technology, right? But just recognizing that it has an impact and that, like you say, for the generations that really grew up with it, like might not even be aware of like the impacts and how anxious and dependent we can be on it. Whereas for other generations, it might be more obvious, but there still can be a lot of anxiety. And so maybe let's go into some of those impacts, right? Like what could you name? What are the impacts of social media specifically, but also just technology advancement in general on anxiety?
Well, there's definitely information overload, right? If you're an anxious person, you're already feeling a lot of overwhelm and trying to categorize things and figure things out. So when you're given a lot of information, some of it true, some of it not true, that can be very difficult to manage on how to navigate that. How do I believe this? How do I absorb this? What do I do with it? So it can just feel very overwhelming. And it can also feel like you're trapped, right? Because you want the information, you want to be informed, and that's the message that we get, right? You have to stay informed. You can't look away. At the same time, we have to be reasonable, and we have to do it within our own limitations and our own boundaries, which is really hard to even figure out what those are and then set them for ourselves. So I feel like that's a huge one of just the information overload. We weren't designed to be able to have access to that much information at once. So it's a lot for our brains to take in and then figure out what to do with. And if you're already a highly anxious person, someone that's easily overwhelmed, that can feel like this is too much. But I can't turn it off. So now I'm stuck in this anxious cycle of like consuming, and then what the heck do I do with this? And then there's also the desensitization of what we're seeing, right? Where we see a lot, and it's some of it is very, very heavy. But if we're seeing it so often, it does do we lose that impact of that? And then what does that feel like? Especially for someone that's anxious, are we holding on to more of it than someone that maybe has less anxiety? So while people around us may be desensitized, how are we feeling about that impact? Like, are we feeling like something's wrong with us because we do care so much, but we should care, right? Again, it goes back to that boundary. So I feel like there's that. And then there's that fear of missing out, you know, right? We all have that. And when something happens and we're not connected, or we don't see it right away, or somebody texts us or calls us or shares something with us and we didn't see that, it's like, oh my gosh, I wasn't a part of that, feeling anxious, feeling like we're missing out. So I feel like those can really impact somebody that has anxiety.
Yeah, that makes so much sense because, you know, one of the things I've talked a lot with people about on this conference is like anxieties are often a lot of overstimulation, right? And so, as you say, that information overload of like from one device in your hand or from your computer, whatever, it's receiving so much, like of course it's going to create that overstimulation and exacerbate the anxiety, which may already be there. And yeah, and that desensitization, I'm wondering if you want to say a little bit more about that piece around the desensitization and, you know, specifically in how that impacts anxiety.
Yeah. So if we think about it, we're seeing a lot of these events close up more so than we would if, you know, pre-internet or pre-access to social media, right? We're not only are we seeing the events, but we're also seeing people's opinions of these events. And if it's, you know, something like, you know, a catastrophe or something that's, impacting, like, we'll say a social group or an age. We'll talk about, like, you know, when we see mass shootings or something like that, or in schools, that we're seeing it so often. And are we becoming less emotionally attached to what that really means, those big things? And how does that impact our anxiety? Are we becoming overwhelmed by that? Are we becoming, okay, this is part of our life. So now we feel like this is what we're supposed to feel like. We're constantly trapped in this anxiety of those situations because we're seeing it so often. And then not only are we seeing it, but we're seeing other people's opinions of them. So there's that we're taking on, and we're figuring out how to process and how we're feeling. And wait, am I feeling wrong? So the anxiety of that, because this person is saying this and this person is saying this, and then we're caught up in it. And it's like that thing that do we want to look at it, but we can't look away. So there's anxiety of that, of like, this really bad thing is happening. Here we are seeing it, we're experiencing it, trying to figure out how to process that, feeling overwhelmed by our emotions. And then also now we're impacted by some other person's opinion that we don't even know about that. And how are we feeling and how are we taking that in? So people are wondering, like, why am I not able to sleep at night after I just looked on my phone and scrolled TikTok, Instagram, whatever platform you choose to use? Like, why am I feeling so much anxiety of this? Because I do see this often, and obviously it's a big thing that happened, and I do feel a lot of emotions connected to it, but also it feels so kind of far away now. What we don't realize is, like, how is that affecting our nervous system? How is that affecting our body? So it's not just the seeing it, but it's like, how is that impacting us and our function and our cognitive abilities and our window of tolerance? Like, are we building up a tolerance for this? And is that going to be good for me in the long run? Am I becoming detached from how I'm feeling? Where I feel like, okay, yeah, I'm detached, but really my body's holding on to that, and I'm having a lot of anxiety, whether that's coming out in headaches, lack of sleep, or in other physical ways that maybe we're not thinking of. Am I having random panic attacks that I don't even realize are attached to that because I feel so desensitized from what's going on, but really it is impacting me.
It's really interesting the way you're talking about it, right? That it's like impacting us almost unconsciously. And so like we there's something that kind of switches off that we're like, I see so much of it that I'm not having an obvious immediate reaction. And yeah, noticing, oh, my sleep's not so good, or like, oh, I'm having random panic attacks, or I'm having more arguments with someone, or whatever it is, which are like often, you
Right.
know, symptoms of anxiety. And yet we might not consciously realize it because it's almost like, you know, I guess, is it to do with dissociation, would you say?
Absolutely. I think those are things that we do to protect ourselves. We go into survival mode. We can dissociate. We can isolate, right? So we're constantly watching things, but we're isolating ourselves from family or friends or talking about it in actual community. And we're just kind of taking all this information in and not knowing how to deal with it. Or are we dissociating in those moments of like, I see it, but I don't want to let it kind of let it in, but it's still impacting us. Maybe we're like, okay, I don't feel it, but is it coming up in different ways throughout our body? So I think we see these things and we kind of go into survival mode and we don't realize how they're impacting us and how they may be increasing our anxiety because it doesn't look like I'm panicking in the moment while I'm seeing it. We could be harboring it and it could be coming out in different ways. And anxiety doesn't always look like overthinking. It can be very physical in nature. It can be hard to breathe. It can be that panic. It can be headaches. It can be, shaking in our body. It can come out. It can feel like I'm always cold or I'm overheated. So we might not even realize how much viewing these things is impacting our stress levels and our anxiety.
That makes a lot of sense. And you talked earlier about the nervous system. And so I, you know, can you say more about like how, yeah, how engaging with so much this information overload and the desensitization, you've just talked about how it can often put us in survival mode, right? Without necessarily even realizing it. So do you want to talk more about the impact on the nervous system of being exposed to all of this information?
Absolutely. I mean, we all have our window of tolerance, right? The things that we can handle, that when something happens, when something comes up, when something, is uncertain or quote unquote bad happens, we all have this, ability to tolerate it, where when that window closes, and then we are either in that fight or flight, right? So if we are in that, we're seeing these things, it can be outside our window of tolerance. Then we can become more anxious, where our nervous system is offset. We're not feeling regulated, so we're not able to maintain our emotions. We're not able to manage as well as we would like to, or as well as we could. when we are within our window of tolerance. And I think that a lot of times when we're viewing things on social media, we're viewing things on the internet, that can shift our window of tolerance very quickly and then impact our nervous system about how we feel dysregulated. So we could feel, that's why we're watching videos, we're crying, right? We're in our emotions. We're shaking, we're feeling upset, we feel our chest tighten. And we're like, what is going on? I'm just scrolling my TikTok feed or whatever it is. Because it is impacting our stress levels, is impacting that fight or flight. Again, we're having a lot of information that we're seeing and that is showing up within our bodies. And it's not, we're not at our baseline because we are being triggered in some way by what we're seeing. So I think we forget that, yeah, these things activate our nervous system. These things are bringing stress levels. These things are knocking us off of our baseline. And then we get off of the internet, or we get off of our phone, we put it down, and we're in this heightened state. And then we're snapping at the people around us, or we are isolating and we don't want to go out. We don't want to do things because we've received all this information and we're not doing anything with it. We're kind of just sitting in it and we don't realize how much it's impacting us. So, really being able to put up those boundaries and see, like, is this too much? Is this why I'm up all night? Is this why I'm procrastinating and not able to get things done during the day? Or, is this impacting the way that I'm showing up and how I'm feeling about myself and the world around me? Like, and how I'm interacting with the world around me? Is that changing us? I think those are things that we kind of don't think about because we are deeming it, oh, this is just how it is. But it doesn't have to be that way. And I think, like, we don't realize how much it really is impacting our bodies.
And I'm really, noticing the way you're talking about that window of tolerance and how often we're taken outside of that window and our nervous system is stimulated and we're taking away from baseline and we're not even realizing we're doing it and we're doing it all from our sofa or our bed or the, the subway or whatever it is. And that then the impact that can have on our like everyday lives, our lives outside of the screens and the non-virtual our non-virtual lives, right? Like you say, snapping at the people around us, not going out as much, and really being impacted like that. And the other thing that I'm really noticing is you talked earlier about how often it's designed to keep us hooked, right? And because of the addictive nature, sometimes we put our phone down, then we notice we're feeling restless. And so what do? We pick our phones back up.
Yeah, because it's designed to give us that hit of dopamine, that pleasure, right? Like, so when we want that again. So yeah, maybe we saw something that, wasn't what we wanted to see, and that kind of heightened our nervous system and made us feel off. But we can scroll right to the next video, and it can be a cute little animal doing something, right? And we're getting that hit. We're getting that, oh, I like this. I like this feeling. It keeps us hooked, even though it might not be what's actually good for us, but it feels good for us in the moment. And that's why it can become so addicting. So yes, there are amazing parts of it. I'm not saying never go on the internet, but it has to be within limitations. And we have to start really being in tune to ourselves and how we're feeling and how it's impacting us. Because is it doing more harm than good? Am I putting myself in a position to react and show up in ways that I don't like? For what? Because this system was built to kind of keep us interactive. That's why we can think we've been on it for 5 minutes and we've been on for hours. And then we kind of leave our body all like stressed out and not, but we're not doing anything about that. We don't kind of go back and check in with ourselves and soothe ourselves and figure out what we need. We just keep going and keep going. And of course, we're going to have increased anxiety if we're doing that, right? We're constantly going, 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 and not taking care of ourselves. That's going to trigger anybody's anxiety. And if, especially if you're already someone that is highly anxious, think how much more that's impacting you.
Absolutely. And as you say, that's a thing when you're on social media or the internet, you know, it's that
Yeah.
you don't always know what you're going to be exposed to. So one video might be reactivating, and then the next video might be cute kittens who give you a dopamine hit, and then the next video might be like something that's massively triggering or something like that, right? And I think, you know, I'm wondering if you want to say anything about that, about like phobias and triggers and the ways that we can't always limit what we're seeing and have access to on the internet.
Yeah. I mean, there's not a trigger warning on everything. And even if there is, sometimes that can be triggering in itself to see like trigger warning, whatever that is. If just seeing those words or whatever can be impactful to you. I think that's the great thing about the internet, the relatability of seeing like, okay, this could just be Susie down the street. It doesn't have to be this big time celebrity, but also is that more impactful because it's so close. So just feeling like you have to access it. We don't the trauma, the impact of what we're seeing, if we have experienced something, say someone struggling with their relationship with their body and their relationship with food, and we're seeing a lot of people that are exercising constantly or talking about how they prep their meals. What is that doing for you? We don't even realize that, oh, we're consuming this, and this could be triggering something that was in our past because it seems so harmless. It just seems like, oh, okay. But is that, the messaging in our brain of like, oh, we need to start doing that again? It's just kind of like, oh, we need to buy this. Oh, we need to be doing this. And we start to kind of label ourselves. We kind of go back into old habits. And it could trigger traumas that we're not even aware of. It also can kind of put the idea in our head of like, oh, all those like, put a finger down if you have this. And then there's this diagnosis. So then is it like, now I'm diagnosing myself and something's wrong with me. Is it the constant need for healing or finding these issues? Are we constantly looking for that? And that can also be traumatic, right? If I feel like something's wrong with me, so I'm constantly feeding into these self-help arenas where is this information even correct? So are we feeding into misinformation and how can that impact us and show up in traumatic ways? So I think, again, something else that we're not thinking of when we're just picking up our phone and scrolling, what are we seeing? What is the algorithm feeding us, and what is it decided that we want? And is this what we want to consume? And how is it impacting us overall and our experiences, right? Because it does start to know us. So it knows what our experiences are, and what we like to watch, whether good, bad, or indifferent. So again, to use the, body image or food, relationship. Are we subconsciously looking for those things, even though we know we've had some issues in the past? And how is that impacting us and our future? And it's so easily accessible and readily available, and seems harmless, but is it doing more harm than good for us individually? Because, there's another person in your house that may not impact them the way that it's impacting you. So just being aware of what it is that you're consuming.
Yeah, I think that piece around unconscious messages is so important, right? I wasn't even thinking about that, like about how, yeah, this idea that like you should look a certain way or like, you know, stuff around food and diet and some of it is explicit and some of it isn't so explicit. And then we start questioning ourselves based on what who we see and that piece around self-diagnosing and pathologizing everyone and all that kind of thing is gonna have a huge impact on our mental health. And then, you know, there's also like more explicit things like I have a phobia of a certain animal. I can't control if I see pictures of that animal or not on social media, right? And then the piece you were saying about like ideals and body images, I think again, you and I think are similar generation. And so we grew up, you know, much more with like billboards and models of, you know, the archetype and the ideal. And yet it always felt like that was kind of removed. Whereas these days, you know, all the influencers and the influencer culture, it kind of feels like anyone can be one of those like famous models and beautiful people. And at the same time, it can also like feel like, oh, what's wrong with me that I'm not like that? Even more, I think, than when it was the models on the billboards. I wonder if you have anything you'd like to add on that.
Absolutely. I mean, I think there have been studies and research that's continuously coming out, you know, talking about that, about the appearance. And of course, yeah, like we said, there was a lot of that culture with us growing up, but it was more like magazines, and it seemed more unattainable of like, this is this, you know, archetype of person, and we're the normal people, and like, it was lovely to be this archetype person, but it seemed far away. And even still, that was, you know, impactful to young impressionable people. But now you're right, like, okay, well, this is just this girl down the street or this person, and there's all these advertisements, or I did these things, and we can't back check it. So it very much is like, is something wrong with me, or why can't I do this, or why can't I be this, or like, all these people can be these influencers and have this fame, and am I not good enough? So, and that I'm not good enough, you know, belief, core belief is in a lot of us already. So is social media triggering that? Is it feeding into that and kind of keeping us stuck where we are constantly following these people and buying the things that, you know, they're saying, 'cause it made them this way, so it can make me this way, constantly trying to make ourselves better, which, you know, bettering yourself isn't a bad thing, but what's the intention behind it? Have we lost ourselves? Are we trying to be something that we're not? And do we even actually want to be that? Or is that the messaging that we're receiving? And how is that playing on into our core beliefs, into our view of ourselves, into that anxious person, right? That anxious thought process of like, oh, I do need this, or maybe I would be better. Is that, you know, is that exacerbating our anxiety and those anxious thoughts that are ruminating around of like, I can be better, and this is gonna make that. So I think, again, being aware, and that's not what the internet is telling us, to be more aware, right? Because they want us to still feed into those things on the social media platforms. So that awareness is lacking, and we can get caught up so easily in the influence of it all. And I think, like I said, we're seeing a lot of research and a lot of, you know, people coming out and talking about how this is impacting, especially the younger generation, of what is actual reality versus what is not reality. Because, you know, again, people can get behind their phone and say whatever that is, and how is it impacting someone that's impressionable and trying to figure out their way? So there's a lot of anxiety around that generation and older generations concerned about those younger generations, and what that looks like. So I think, again, being more intentional, but it's hard to remember to do that, especially when that's not what's being fed to us.
100%. And you know, like you were saying, that I'm not good enough, like what a lot of anxiety is. So of course it's going to be feeding that. And you know, you've talked a lot about the misinformation piece, and I think that that's, yeah, really a big part of it as well. And you know, I'm also really struck by how the other big difference between, you know, the magazines and billboards versus now, for example, is that you had to be a certain age, right? So we'd see people of a certain age, whereas now you get like 3-year-olds who are going viral and are like internet famous. And it's like, you know, you have to have like a million subscribers by the time you're six. It's you know, it's a lot.
It is, it, that's really funny. Like, I have a, you know, I have two kids. My youngest is 8, and constantly talking about like, I need to have this YouTube channel, and I want to do this, and it's cool that there are new career ideas and ways to express yourself and be creative. And no way am I knocking that if that's what's best for you. But it's also, you know, when I ask them, the intention behind it. It's like, well, I could have these followers, and how many likes could I get? And that is, as a parent, that's a little terrifying to me. Of that is, that's what's important. That's the desire. And what am I doing to, be a part of that? How am I keeping them safe, but allowing them to express themselves? So navigating that is really difficult when that's becoming, that's the norm now. Like that, this is what we do. So why aren't you letting me do it? From a parent standpoint, and then just from a therapist standpoint, I need to check in of like, okay, but how much is too much at this age to consume and to put yourself out there? So I can only imagine, and that's just a young person. So now we have teenagers, and we have, 20 somethings. We're adults, and we're still trying to figure that out. So how is that, impacting our children's brains and their nervous system, and how they're showing up, and what's important to them, and what's reality? And I know for me as a parent, that causes me a lot of anxiety.
I bet. When I was eight, I worried about the kids in my class where there was, I grew up in a rural town and there was about 10 kids in my class, and I was worried about them liking me, not the whole internet, which is a lot of pressure. And I think that that's a whole
Exactly.
other, like you say, that's the anxiety from the kids' age and the impact on the nervous system and the desire and need to of feeling not good enough and wanting to be liked by, thousands or more people. And as a parent, that's a huge thing as well. And you and I
Yeah.
talked a bit about like the anxiety of parenting in another interview, which people can check out on the Conscious Life platform. So I recommend people do that. Amber, there's so many more aspects I think we could talk about around the ways that anxiety shows up and the impact of social media on the nervous system and on anxiety in general. But I really want to make sure we have time to talk about some of the strategies to deal with all of this, right? And you talked a little bit
Absolutely.
about boundaries and about ways of like calming our nervous system and coming back to baseline. But I'm wondering, yeah, could you say some more about how we can manage anxiety in this digital age?
Absolutely. I think boundaries is the number one thing. Really checking in with yourself to see, like, how am I feeling after I'm consuming this? I always say, to do kind of a run through for yourself, like, who am I following? What am I consuming? We're always so worried about, what am I consuming in my body through food and liquids, things like that. But what am I consuming in the digital age? What social media people am I following? How do I feel after I watch what they're putting out there? How do I feel after that content? Am I feeling good? Am I feeling shamed or guilt that I'm not, again, good enough? Or, is this good for me? And maybe, is it time to eliminate some of them? I know, obviously people want to be informed. So I think there's a lot of like, I want to follow people that are giving me news or current events in the media, but how much do I want to watch? So I know some people create like multiple accounts. Like, here's my like account where I follow comedians and, cat accounts, and then here's where I follow the news, so I can go on when I need to, but I'm putting up that boundary for myself. I'm figuring out like what's my intention, putting on timers. Like, a lot of phones obviously have that I'm gonna put in, I can be on this for an hour and then it reminds me or it shuts it down. That's helpful. Putting your phone down at night at least an hour before bed. Maybe, coloring or journaling or something to help calm your nervous system instead of increase it. Think about like your small child. You don't really give them a lot of sugar before bed, or, because you kind of want them to calm down. You're not like running laps around the house and then putting them to bed. So it's kind of the same thing for yourself. Like, are you consuming that social media, getting yourself wound up before bed? So really thinking about being intentional on how you're taking care of yourself. Is that the first thing that you're picking up in the morning? So kind of creating a short morning routine for yourself and a sh short nighttime routine for yourself that doesn't include social media can have a huge impact. Having a detox once in a while, even if it's like, I'm not gonna go on social media every Wednesday. I know that sounds really difficult, So even if it's like, I'm gonna cut back an hour, I'm gonna cut back, just giving yourself that little bit of time away can be really, really helpful, and show a huge impact on yourself. And asking yourself, like, what is my intention? Why do I want to do this? Do I feel like I need to? And is it limiting me from doing something else that I want to do, or something that I used to do and I haven't anymore? And how can I incorporate that back into my life, instead of this?
Yeah, I think that those boundaries are all super helpful. And I like the way you were like, you don't give your kids sugar just before bed. Don't give yourself the Instagram sugar before bed.
Yes.
And that thing of making sure you have time mornings and evenings that don't involve your phone and technology and social media and the internet and stuff like that, because yeah, it can so, as we talked about earlier, it has such an impact on one's mood and one's sleep, and then it can create these vicious cycles where we become addicted. And so those are some really great suggestions around boundaries. And I'm wondering if you have some tools around if we've been activated and our nervous system is revved up from, use of social media, how do we bring it back down?
Yeah, leaning into supports outside of social media can always be good. Having conversations, talking to family. I mean, if you have access to therapy, that can be really helpful too, to process maybe some of the triggers that are coming up. Journaling is a great way. I'm a huge fan of journaling, especially if you're feeling overwhelmed in those moments. Getting it all out on paper can be really helpful, and it's right there. So if there's not someone around, or obviously you don't have access to therapy or an appointment or something like that, a paper and pen is right there for you. Just doing some simple deep breathing exercises to kind of regulate yourself, and ground yourself back into the moment, because it can be really easy to kind of cycle and spin in that anxiety after seeing something that, triggered you. So trying to just do some deep breathing, get outside and moving your body in such a natural way of just walking, breathing in some fresh air, walking around your house, just kind of getting up and getting out of that headspace and kind of back into your surroundings, especially right in that moment, can be really helpful. Put the phone down, put it down, walk away from it, can really just get you to regulate and kind of, escape from that and get back into reality. Because I think that's the difficult part. We just get so sucked into our phone and we forget like what's going on in the present day. So what can you do to kind of reconnect in that present day? Dive into your senses, maybe light your favorite candle, pull out your lavender, even just doing simple like hand rubbing or pressure points to kind of feel back into your body, especially when you're dysregulated, you feel so outside of your body. So kind of, what can I do to feel back into my body? Go wash your hands and kind of feel the water and feel the smell the sensations of the soap, or feel the sensations of the water and smell the soap, just really connecting back with yourself.
I love all of those. And I know how much you love journaling. We also had a chat about journaling as a tool for anxiety, which is also available on the Conscious Life platform. Are there any other tools that you think or strategies that you think are useful for managing anxiety specifically in this, specifically around technology and social media?
I think people are afraid to block or mute. Don't be afraid. We have to protect ourselves and our mental health and our peace. We can still stay informed, but we don't have to bombard ourselves with something, with a page that's making us feel unsafe, right? Like, if something you feel like is harmful or unsafe, take a step back and ask yourself why that is, and why do I feel like I need to be a part of that? There's a lot of keyboard warriors out there. Do we need to keep them in our comment section of something that we posted? How is that benefiting us? How is that benefiting them? How are we using our platform? So just being more aware of that and not not feeling guilt or shame for having to be like, this is not something that I want to tolerate. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. It's taking a break, not just from social media in general, but from certain accounts, certain people that we don't really owe people anything online, right? So I
A
think that
hundred
that's
percent.
really important. Amber, is there anything else you would like to add before we wrap up today?
I think just reminding yourself that these apps were created to kind of keep us there, but our brains weren't prepared for kind of all this information at once. So if you're feeling anxious or overwhelmed, you're not alone. But now that we know some things, we know a little differently, maybe we can be more intentional, and start to be more aware of what we're consuming and how it's impacting you, so that it doesn't have to be so overwhelming, that you can be in charge of what you are viewing and what you're doing and how much access you give it. So it's okay to take a break and step away, if that's what you need.
Thank you so much for that. How can people find out more about you and your work?
Yeah, you can find out everything that I do on my website, amberversanxiety.com. It's my same username on Instagram as well.
Thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.